Take this fainted heart. Take these tainted hands. Wash me in your love. Come like grace again.
Even when my strength is lost, I'll praise you. Even when I have no song, I'll praise you. Even when it's hard to find the words, louder than I'll sing your praise. I will only sing your praise. Take this mountain weight. Take these ocean tears. Hold me through the trial. Come like hope again. Even when the fight seems lost, I'll praise you. Even when it hurts like hell, I'll praise you. Even when it makes no sense to sing, louder than I'll sing your praise. I will only sing your praise.
And my heart burns only for you. You were all I want. And my soul waits only for you. And I will sing till the morning has come.
Lord, my heart burns only for you. You are all I want. And my soul waits only for you. And I will sing till the miracle comes.
Amen. What a powerful song. Amen. It was awesome. 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 Well, good morning. Well, we're glad to have you with us. I do want to thank our veterans. I know Brother Wayne already had you raise your hand. Thank you guys and ladies so much for your service. You guys are a tremendous blessing. We know because of the sacrifices of those, we have the freedom we have. I do want to tell you as you're turning to 2 Kings chapter 4, You know, we need to be praying, as we have seen even last Sunday, and it's not the first time we see the different things taking place in churches, and we hear of those in Texas and pray and mourn with them who have faced this church shooting. I do want to let you know that obviously you can see there's a few changes. Changes aren't something we need to be scared of. We actually didn't ask Sean to be here. Pasco County has sent out sheriffs to each church. So it's not something we're not afraid. We're going to worship the Lord. You understand? Like, we're not here. We're not going to live in fear. We're not going to freak out and be worried about it. We're going to take the precautions necessary, but we're going to still worship God. Amen? So don't miss that. That's what we're here for. The Lord is our protector. But Sean, actually, it's pretty cool. I mean, he comes up probably twice a week and hangs out with us for a little while. And it's awesome to have him. But he went to our school from second grade up through he graduated here. His dad and mom were very involved. His mother was a teacher here for many years. His dad was a deacon for, I believe, 10 years in our church. So it's just kind of cool we get him to be the cop that's here with us today. So thank him for being with us. Amen. And he's here. They're going to be here. The sheriff of our area is a Christian man, and he just decided that he would send them out as long as there wasn't another call. That they're in churches all across our community. Again, it's not something we've asked. We are heightening our security a little, just to be smart. We were planning on doing that in the new building. We decided to make it happen this week. So everybody relax and enjoy. Let's just worship the Lord. He was telling me back there they were dealing with a very serious thing this morning, is that there were two people fighting over a pet squirrel that they had to go report to. True story. I'm like, yeah, welcome to Pasco County. Amen. That must have been in Hudson area. No, I'm just teasing. If you're from Hudson, don't be offended. That was me and my wife. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to get started today. Today I'm going to talk about this, to the point of despair. You know, it's amazing, kind of in the position that we're in, it seems, right, that often, I mean, there's not a whole lot of people. I tell the staff this in our school. I said, it's very few times do they send us, when you're in our position, they don't usually send kids to us for how good they've been. Right? We see all the negative. It's like, they're horrendous. They're terrible. They don't listen. They don't behave. They don't ever send them down and just go, we just wanted to send this kid to you and tell you how great they were. It's always when it's a problem, right? So we see this negativity. It's kind of sometimes the same thing when you pastor a church, right? It's like, you meet people. When people want to meet with you, it's typically because of a crisis. It's because they're at a place of despair. It's something's falling apart and they're hoping to get some answers. And it's a great blessing. I believe it's an honor to have that position and to be able to do that. But I also sometimes think this, that we get in a place of despair and we trust more in people than we do in the Lord. And sometimes we miss the very main thing that matters when we're in a spot of despair, when something's difficult. We forget that God is the answer. And too often we look to people. I mean, we depend so heavily on counseling. Not that counseling is bad. We depend so bad on the pastor, and not that that's bad. And we depend so much on our friends, and not that that's bad. But if we forget that the Lord is the answer in despair, we're going to have despair. And despair is going to last. So look at 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to talk about to the point of despair. Chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen or slaves. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out and said, It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest, to the point of despair. Let's have prayer together and we'll get started. Father, again, thank you for just another day to worship you. We thank you for being our protector. We thank you, Lord, for salvation today, for the blood of Jesus that covers all sins. We're grateful for grace today and mercy. And Father, today we lift up the veterans, those men and women that have served and even sacrificed their lives. Father, we just are grateful that we still live in the greatest country of all. We're still grateful that there were those that were willing to sacrifice so much. And Lord, we lift up those in pain today. We lift up those in Texas today and even in California, those who face these shootings, Father, that you would just be with them. And Lord, that the gates of hell, you said, wouldn't prevail against the church, that there would still be success, there would still be glory, there would still be, Lord, amazing testimony that comes out of this situation, out of tragedy. But most of all, we're thankful for the sacrifice you made on Calvary for us. Today, Lord, I pray for those that are brokenhearted, for those that may face despair, or those that may face despair next week or next month or next year, Lord, that when it comes, when tragedy comes knocking, when difficulty comes knocking, when despair comes knocking, that, Lord, you would just help us to trust in you. Lord, we love you. We give you glory for what's going to take place today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, today, and I had prepared this early in the week, started to prepare, I want to talk about dealing with despair. And you know, despair, if you look it up in a dictionary, it's defined as a feeling of hopelessness. It's any scenario you could be in, any situation that you could be in where you feel like there's no answer, there's no hope. Like you are facing something and you can't see the good in it. You don't see how God could make this good. We've heard these scriptures about how God turns evil into good and all things work together for the good. And maybe it's this scenario that you don't see that. I wonder if you've ever been there before. Have you ever looked at your circumstances and said there's no hope? You know, I hear this so regularly in the position I'm in. I hear weekly, seriously, even this last week, of three people that I know that are faced with marriage troubles. And some come to me with this point. They're like, we're at a point of divorce. Like, there's no answer to this, and we're going to divorce. We've been together 20 years, 25 years, some 2 years, and they're like, we can't go on. This isn't going to work. We're not good for each other. He's not the man that I thought he was. He's changed. She's changed. And we hear all this stuff, and they're at a point of hopelessness. They're at a point of despair. And, you know, and even listening to them, I've listened to them say things like, you know, I know I'm being bitter right now. I know I'm being unforgiving, but I, you know, almost feel like they have a right to be in that spot. They're like, we have a right to be hopeless. We have a right to be in despair. We have a right to be unforgiving. We have a right to be bitter. And they're ready to give up on their marriage. And then some we've even had come to us in the last month talking about addictions. You know, believe it or not, in the church, there's people that have different addictions. It's not always just drugs and alcohol. But people with addictions, and maybe you're here, and maybe that's you, and you feel like you just can't overcome it. Or maybe, you know, like this situation where so many are facing, where they have a loved one who's facing a serious illness. And it feels hopeless when somebody you love is so ill. People in our own family, we were told that there's a possibility of cancer. And if it's a cancer, they think she's only 51 years old. They said she'll have 1 to 6 months to live. And you wonder how. I mean, where does this come from? How do you get that news? I mean, how do you receive that news? And you're in a place of despair because what can you say? When it's your sister, when it's somebody you love, when it's your brother, it's your cousin, or maybe you yourself are facing some serious illness. I've heard of testimonies in our church of people who are having problems at work or maybe even lost their job. And people text me or call me and say, please pray, so-and-so has lost their job, and we're at a place like, we're going to trust God, but we don't really know what to do here. this just came out of the blue. Or maybe you have bills that you can't seem to pay, or and maybe you have creditors that keep calling you, amen. I mean, you know, or maybe you've had to bury someone special to you and you're consumed with grief. Maybe you have a son or a daughter. We hear the testimonies of that we've been praying some for years for a son who's walked away from God, or a son who's connected and caught up in alcohol and drugs, or one who just refused to serve God. And there's men and women in our church begging God to do something with their wayward kids. And I guess we could go on and on with the list, but maybe you yourself are walking through a valley and you're facing some major difficulty or some major circumstances all at once. And sometimes I believe this, though, that in the darkest hour, it's when God makes His presence known most clearly to us. And I know that doesn't feel good, and that's really not what you want to hear today. You don't want to hear that sometimes it takes the storm or the tragedy to make people look to God. But He can use suffering and trouble to show us that He is our only source of strength. And many times when we're in the moments of despair, we look to everyone and everything but God. And He sometimes puts things in our life so that we would cry out to Him. In John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." See, we can't promise anyone that there won't be moments that are difficult, but He says, "I've overcome the world." So in these verses that we looked at in 2 Kings chapter 4, it kind of paints a picture of someone who is at rock bottom. We see a lady who, you know, is experiencing some extreme difficulty in her life. Understand this. Number one, we know she's a widow. She's lost her husband. She says it in the verse, she says, "My husband's dead, but he was a servant of the Lord." She goes, he was somebody who served, and maybe she's trying to give his resume, because understand that in those times in biblical days, because of who she was married to, what they could do is this by the Levitical law, is they could say this, okay, if you owed a debt that you couldn't pay back, what they would do is they'd come get your children, and your children would work that debt off. I'm not too concerned. I think that might be a good rule to bring back. That's pretty cool. I'm like, I got a car loan. Take Javin. He'll work for a year, right? But really, that's what they did. So they would say, all right, you owe a debt. So she's lost her husband. He's passed on, and they're coming to get her two boys. Think about that for a minute. Because here's the place she's at. I've lost my husband. Now I'm about to lose my two sons. It's a place of despair. It's a place that's ugly. It's a place that none of us would want to be in. It doesn't look good. So in place of the debt, they're going to take her sons to be slaves. And we can assume that this woman probably tried to raise some money and had been unsuccessful. And at this point in her life, you know, it was the worst thing that could happen. She's in a real difficult situation, and there's nothing she could do to solve the problem. But I want you to catch this if you catch nothing else. Through it, she still devoted her life to God. And so many times, I can speak from experience this, that sometimes when things get tough, I forget to worship God like that song says. Sometimes when things get tough, I want to bail on God and question Him why. Sometimes when things get difficult, I don't want to praise Him in the storm. I want to run and I want to wonder, I want to ask Him, why would He let it happen to me? But the truth is, she was devoted to God. I want to look at three things today for a few moments when you're in despair. Number one, turn to the Lord. Go to verse 1. When you're in despair, turn to the Lord. Go to verse 1 and let's look at it again. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen or slaves. So turn to the Lord." Notice in verse 1, there's a word there. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman." See, the word "cried" here, it means this. It means to moan or to weep uncontrollably, to shriek out of grief. In other words, this woman wasn't a little frustrated by her situation. She is completely devastated. She is weeping. She is weeping uncontrollably. She is shrieking out of grief. I wonder this morning, have you ever been there? And maybe not this morning, but can you ever go back to a point, or can you ever go back to a moment where it hurt so bad you didn't know what else to do but cry? You're broken. You're destroyed. And maybe you're right there now. So she was completely devastated. Her husband, again, is already dead, and it looks like soon she's going to lose her sons. And as a result of the debts she could not pay, the creditors are going, hey, we're coming to get your kids as slaves. So at this point, her troubles are bad, but they're getting worse. And you know something I notice about this is this. Sometimes, here's the reality of it. You ever heard this saying, when it rains, it pours? Because have you ever been in a spot where you've said this? Things are bad, but you're going, it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Things just keep getting worse and worse. And I always talk about people raining on my parade, right? I mean, it seems sometimes when it's all falling apart, it just, you know, you're in a bad spot. You get discouraged, depressed, beat up, and you go, man, it's not just bad, it's real bad. It's not bad. It's not just bad, but it's getting even worse. Things keep pouring on. It's like as if you didn't have enough with the one storm, it's like here comes the other hurricanes behind following. You ever felt that way? You can't pick your head up from the first one before you're getting knocked down by the second one. And just as you try to lift your heads up and look to the mountains, to the Lord, right, where your help comes from, sure enough, something comes and smack you in the back of the head again. And that's hard and it hurts. And that's where she's at. I mean, things are going from bad to worse. And for this woman, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. She was hopeless and in despair, but she didn't turn to anyone else. She looked to the Lord for her help. And if you're in a time of despair and things are getting worse, could it be that you're looking to the wrong place for help? I mean, some of us, I say this often, I really would define myself as a fixer. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean that arrogantly. It's just this, that when I see a problem, I try to solve it. That's just who I am as a person. It's not, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but the problem is that often when I face something, I try to fix it on my own without the Lord. I tell you that even as a pastor. There's lots of times that I neglect prayer first, and I'm like, okay, Deanna and I are having problems, I'll fix this. And you know what I find is this, that I'm a fool. What I find is that I can't always fix it. I got promised my kids, and I go, here's the way to do this. This is what I'm going to do. One of my favorite things to do is this. When I'm having problems with my kids, I take them for a ride. But what do you mean? I mean this. I get them in the car, and I'm getting them prepared for the lecture. Or a beating, if we need to, somewhere in the woods. But I'm like, let's just get in the car. We're going to go for a ride, and we're going to talk. Well, I don't know. I think I kind of picked that up from my dad. My dad would, anytime there was a problem, he would go, get in the car. And that was never nice. I try to be nice at least, but I would go, get in the car. And he always drove us out there on 471. You know, you take 54 to 98, make that left, and it's like a 20-mile road to Webster Flea Market. And you knew, here's the problem with it, is that it takes you 45 minutes to get there and 45 back. Let me tell you something. It was 90 minutes and you don't get a word in. So I'll go, man, and here's the truth. This carries into even my ministry sometimes as I see somebody hurting and I want to fix it. I want to jump in. I see a marriage or something, somebody's, and I want to fix it. Let me talk to your husband for a minute. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing, but can I tell you something? If we neglect God first, if we don't turn to Him first, there's a problem. Because if you're the only one involved, it's going to be an issue. And so I'm talking about this. If you're the type of person that tries to fix everything yourself, there's going to be an issue. See, some look to family and friends. They run to people. They want their advice. Again, I believe these people love us, but they can also let us down. Some people love to read books. This is one of my favorite things. People who are into philosophy and people who are into psychology. Again, not that it's a bad thing, but I have to tell you, everybody, there'll be issues and people go, have you read the book? No, the only book I really need is the Word of God right now. There's marriage problems, and everybody's like, hey, Pastor, have you ever read the 5 love languages? No, because right now I just need to learn how to love Him first. Not that the books are bad, but sometimes we're way too dependent on people, places, and things that can't really help you if you don't turn to the Lord first. Have you turned to the Lord in the middle of your trial? Some look to pastors and teachers. Some hang on every word of Oprah. She's still around. But they do. We watch TV and we hang on every word. I remember when Dr. Phil said, yeah, Dr. Oz now, who cares? See, throughout the Word of God, can I tell you that we find that the Lord is the only place for us to have. I want to give you some verses this morning. Jot these down. Psalm 37 and verse 40. It says, and the Lord shall help them, and look at this part, deliver them. Some of us today, can I be real with you? Some of you and some of us today, we need delivery. We're in a spot that we don't get it. We don't understand it, and it hurts so bad, and maybe no one else can comprehend it. And we not only need help from God, we need deliverance. And he says, he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. But look at this part. Why? Because they trust in him. See, because if you don't put your trust in the Lord, number one, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. By the way, you're all welcome to come. It'll be at 9:45 every Sunday morning. That was just quick infomercial, 3 o'clock in the morning. But listen to me. We talked about the difference in some respect of faith and trust. Is there a difference? But I can tell you this. He asked a question in Sunday school. He said, is God okay when we don't trust him? No, he's not. Why? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God when we don't trust him. And when you worry, and when you lack faith, and when you're laying in this pit, and you stick in the pit, and you can come to church and make it look pretty, but when deep in your heart you know you're not trusting God, it displeases God. But you know the other thing is this, how can you ever get deliverance if you don't trust God? Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him, here it is, you ready for this? At all times. Can I tell you, that's where I fail so often. I'm on the mountaintop and I'm trusting God and I'm praising God and I'm giving worship to God and God is so good and things are so wonderful. And he says, yeah, but Mike, you got to praise me in the bad times. We lost a football game Friday night. I'm going to tell you flat out, I think we got cheated and robbed by referees. And I'm going to tell you something, if I was charismatic, I would have lost my salvation. And man, I was furious. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. Miss Susan acts all sweet, passing out these mints. She's a vicious lady. We get on the bus. Before we ever got there, she's like, what refs are we going to have? Because this happened last time. We get back on the bus. I mean, she's ready to throw down. I'm not kidding you. I was like, please get us home, Lord save. I tried this one, that one, everything. I was like, because she already is a fast driver. When she's angry, hey, I love her with all my, I mean it. But you know what I love about it? She loves our kids so much, she wants to fight for them. She loves the Lord, she wants to fight. It's a blessing, really. But seriously, we get in this game. I feel so cheated. But at the end of the game, see, I got to give that pastoral speech. Because I got to be a Christian when I'm coaching. And I got to be a Christian when I'm angry. And I got to be a Christian all these moments. But as I started talking to the kids, I'm thinking, man, in this moment, as stupid as this might sound, when you lose that ball game, sometimes it feels like the worst thing that's ever happened in your life. At that moment, it's like, this is the worst thing that's ever going to happen to me. And then you start thinking. And you go, man, we've went through the loss of our child. We've went through the loss of a parent, a mom and a dad. We've been through the loss of brothers. We've lost a lot of people in our church. And we start thinking, man, this is just a game. And as I start putting in perspective, I'm trying to get across to the kids is, guys, one thing about it that you're going to have to understand, they're all bawling their eyes, and I get it, like it hurts, and some of those kids that are seniors will never touch a field, and this stuff starts to become a reality about 3 minutes after the game. Like, I may never do this again. And they're broken, but what I tried to get across to them is this, and I said this to them. I said, guys, no matter what in life, understand, I promise you, this won't be the worst thing that ever happens to you. But secondly, let me tell you this. You've got to praise God in the bad times as much as the good times. Why? Because we got to trust him and praise him at all times. That's not an option. It's not a question. He says, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I love the end of that verse. Pour out your heart. Have you ever got to a place where you've really poured it out to God? I don't mean this to pick at my wife. You guys probably would kill me if you... But you know what I think about her in this perspective is this. I do believe she trusts God at all times. But you know what I think? She's one of these people, like, I'm a fixer. She's a retainer. She holds everything in. And then 5 years later, amen? You pay for 5 years. She's saying stuff I can't remember. So we got some retainers in here, don't we? You got some people, you've never poured it out to God. You've never given it all to Him. So what you've done is you hold it all in and you're just a ticking time bomb. And it's mostly women. Someone's in trouble. But look at the verse again. Trust in Him at all times. It doesn't give us an option of when. We've got to turn to the Lord in the middle of our storm. Psalm 64:10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Psalm 91 in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I just want to throw this at you for a minute. Do you think in the middle of your storm that you're maybe trusting in people more than you are in God? Do you ever think that maybe you're putting your faith in something else? Maybe a person, maybe something. Have you really put your trust in God? You have to turn to the Lord, and we often neglect to do that. Look at this number two, you got to talk to the Lord. You got to talk to the Lord. If you are in a place of despair, the only place you can find true help is in the Lord. You've got to turn to Him. You've got to tell Him your problems. You got to look to Him for guidance. I'm going to do something kind of silly this morning. I never carry my phone in the pulpit, but this morning I got thinking about this, and so I pulled it up on YouTube. You ready for this? Tell me if you can name this tune. You ready? Older people, you're going to love this. Anybody know this one? Nope. You lost in Jeopardy. What is it? Tell it right here. There it is. Who said it? You're showing your age, Miss Carden. He went to a very conservative church before here, huh? Tell it to Jesus. So this morning I got this out and I started singing this at the table as I was studying. Because I'm like, you got to turn to the Lord in the middle of the trial, but then you got to tell it to Jesus. He wants to hear He's the Father, right? And this was written, and I'm not going to sing it at all. There's no way. But just to that beat, you got that in your head? Dun, 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 dun. This is the weirdest thing. Miss Linda stood up in the back, and she was doing like hip-hop move. I'm like, whoa, Linda! Linda's like, we're back in old school Fairhaven right here. So, dun, dun, dun. Listen to this, and it says, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. When you turn to the Lord and you talk to the Lord, He will give you the guidance that you need. I want to say this to you as we go through this passage. We're going to look at this verse in a minute. There is no guarantee of immediate deliverance from your troubles. When you have problems, when you have trials, when you have tribulations, there's no guarantee of immediate deliverance from your troubles. Keep in mind that the trouble you're asking the Lord to remove from your life may be a trouble that He put in your life for a reason. And that's the part I feel like we all struggle with. It's not that we all know that. We all have enough sense to know there's trouble coming, that there's going to be trials and tribulations. The problem don't they always shock us? Not only do they shock us, they never end fast enough. Because I say this repeatedly. I mean this. You know, Deanna and I have been facing, she's been facing this help thing. And I mean this. Like, I want to get to this spot where Jesus was with the man with leprosy, where the disciples went up to those that were demon-possessed. I pray over her so regularly. And what I'm hoping one day, and again, I say to people, I said, this may sound foolish, but I still believe God can work miracles. The problem is this. Do I really believe it? And you go, what do you mean? I mean this, that I pray and I'll put my hands on Deanna and I'll say, all right, Lord, please. I've tried what I was preaching. I said, Lord, give it to me. I want to take it from her. I don't ever want her to feel this pain. Lord, please. And I do this sometimes at night when she's sleeping and she has no clue. Because when she's sleeping, she's sleeping. And I'll say, Father, please, and take it from her, take it from her. And then the next morning or the next day or the next few minutes, I'll say, you feel better? And if her answer's no, I go, it didn't work. Why? Because I'm looking for immediate change. And maybe God has allowed this illness for a purpose and a plan because God is God. We were talking about in Sunday school this morning about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they go into this fire, right? And they go into this fire and they said, hey, look, if it be so, and if not, no matter what, we're not bowing down to your gods. And if God takes us, if that's his will to take us, to kill us, then so be it. But we're not worshiping you. We're not bowing down to you by no means. And you know, here's the whole thing about it. In every situation you start to see in scriptures, he brought up Daniel in the lion's den. They were in the den, they were in the fire, but God was with them. He doesn't stop the fire. He doesn't necessarily stop the situation, but he's with you in it. But we've got to trust him. Look at verse 2. So keep in mind again, no guarantee of immediate deliverance from your troubles. Keep in mind that the trouble you're asking the Lord to remove from your life may be a trouble that he put in your life for a reason. The widow cried out to Elijah and received some specific instructions. This is where I want to get to. Look at verse 2. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? So the preacher man comes up and he goes, what can I do to help? But then he immediately speaks and he goes, what do you have in your house? He says, and she says, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. In other words, get this picture. You're going through this traumatic thing. Your husband just died. You're about to lose your kid. And the preacher walks in your house and says this, what do you have in your house? And she goes, a pot of oil. This is weird. This is creepy. This is odd. Like, first of all, why do you need to know what I have? Just tell me how to fix this. Tell me what I need to do, preacher. What do you have? I got a pot of oil. Okay, well, here's what I want you to do. Even more creepy. Go borrow all the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and even empty vessels, borrow not a few. In other words, this. I want you to go get every single vessel that you can find. Go get it everywhere. Friends, neighbors. Well, let me say something to you right here. This is ridiculous faith. You want me to tell you why? Because he's expecting God to do more than we can even imagine or think is possible. Well, what do you mean? He's saying, don't go get one vessel. Don't leave one thing unturned. Go get all these vessels. Why? He was already expecting from God. Can I tell you why I think we don't see miraculous things like we used to in Scripture? Because we don't ever expect. We don't believe. We look at a scenario and we go, oh, it's so horrible and so terrible, and we, one, didn't turn to Jesus, and secondly, we don't often talk to Jesus about it, and we wonder why, because our faith is so shallow sometimes. He says, you go get all these vessels. In verse 4, he says, and when you come back in, he goes, you should shut the door, you know, upon you and your sons, and you pour out into all those vessels. Notice that's faith. Pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. What do you have? Just a little bit of oil, one pot. Well, go get all the vessels you can, and let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to fill them all. This lady has a pot of oil. It must have seemed so small compared to the needs that she had. This small pot of oil that seemed so insufficient would not be more than enough. It wouldn't be enough on her own, but when God added his blessing to it, it would be more than enough, and she had to be willing to offer it to him. This is the moral of this story. Listen to me carefully, please. Many times we fail to realize is this. God has already given you and I everything that we need to get our need met. He's given us everything we need to have our need met today. Everything. But like this widow, we have to be willing to take what we have and give it to the Lord. This isn't just talking about money, although that may be the point. He's not just talking about that. But what about this? Some of you in this room today, let's be completely transparent. Some of us today in this room, we feel like we have very little faith left. And he says, give it to Jesus. You got just a little bit of faith, just a mustard seed, just maybe it's smaller, maybe it's like a half a mustard seed today. He goes, give it to Jesus. You got just a little bit of trust left in you, give it to Jesus. You got just a little bit of strength, give it to Jesus. You got just a little bit of worship in you, give it to Jesus. Sometimes God allows things in our lives and he strips us of everything we have and he says, what do you got left? And if at the end of it there's just a little bit of something in there, listen, he says, give it back to me. That's the moral of this story. Because here's the whole point he's getting to. When you turn to the Lord and when you talk with the Lord, when you let God get involved in what you're dealing with, let me say this to you. He may not change the fire, but he'll change your perspective of the fire. And God is plenty when you let him in. Right? You heard the old saying, little is much when God is in it. I'm sure that widow, she looked at this little pot of oil and asked, what good is this going to do? But here's the crazy part about the story. Even though she didn't understand, she just did what she was told to do. She just trusted the Lord. Even though she was in this bad spot, she trusted him anyway. And when you're in despair, you have to turn to the Lord. You have to talk to the Lord. And thirdly, listen to me, you've got to trust the Lord. Verse 5 and 6. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. I mean, that's an awesome thing. The precious lady who was in the moment of despair willingly did what she was asked to do. Remember, despair means hopelessness. And this lady was hopeless. She was at the end of her rope, and she was at rock bottom, and she was at a point where she was just looking for a glimmer of hope. And Elijah gives her some strange instructions to follow. And I wonder if she had scratched her head. I mean, I think about this, and this is just silly. But I seriously put myself in her shoes, and I'm like, okay, Hey, man of God, help me out. I'm going through something really crazy right here. I'm going through something that's terrible. And the preacher or this man of God gives you, or the Lord puts on your heart to do something that's totally stupid. That seems weird. And I really think if I was her in this position, when Elijah says, hey, go out and do this thing that seems kind of crazy. Go out and do something. I not only would have scratched my head, I think I would have made the stupidest face that isn't too difficult for him. And I would have said, say what? Like, what are you talking about? You want me to do what? You want me to go? Okay, what does this pot of oil have to do with my sons and my husband that are already dead? What does this have to do with that? And how radical is it when we're faced with cancer, or we're faced with no money, or we're faced with the loss of a job, or the loss of a loved one? How radical is it to trust the Lord? How radical is it to forgive? How radical is it to put bitterness away with all malice? How radical is it just to say, God, I don't get it, but I throw my hands up and surrender to you, and I believe you're able. You know, this morning, you walk into this building, there's a sheriff here. We didn't know he'd be here. I can feel the fear in some people. They're freaking out. I had somebody come up to me and go, Pastor, did somebody give you a death threat? Did something happen to you? No, not today. What are we going to do if you die? Who's going to put us in line? God forbid, if something happened to you and Miss Smith, you'd keep on. But there was this panic. Why? Because we don't really trust God like we claim we do. And sometimes we lose our job, or sometimes the money's running low, or sometimes there's the health news that we get, and we go with our mouth, and with our mouth we say we trust Him, with our face we say we don't believe Him at all. The marriage looks hopeless, and we go, oh, I trust the Lord, but yet your actions say you don't. He said, just give me everything you have right now. What is he talking about? Physical possessions? Not necessarily, but he's saying this, give him back your spirit, give him back your heart, give him back all of you. Just say, Lord, I surrender me to you. I'm all yours, and I'm going to tell you something. He will change the storm, or he will change your perspective of the storm. I'm going, what a crazy thing. Oh, go get this vessel, empty this vessel, and you know, and go get as many as you can from your friends and neighbors, and then go into your house and lock yourself behind these doors, pour all that olive oil from one pot to the other pot, and what it, but here's again the point of the story is this. She just did what the Lord told her. She didn't procrastinate. So many times we try to again fix it on our own, hold on to it on our own. He says, No, go do what I've asked you to do. And you know what he's telling us to do right now? Trust him. There's nothing more you can do in a storm. You better catch this right now. You will either go through a storm with God or without Him. Your choice. And when you lack trust, it's because you're choosing to go through it on your own. And now get ready for the pity parties. Get ready for that, you know, this apathetic attitude. Get ready for bitterness to creep in. And get ready for doubt to come in. And get ready for Satan to get a foothold. And get ready for your problems to become bigger. Because when you don't trust God in the midst of your problems, you can count on this. The problems are going to get bigger because you're trusting your own thoughts. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Help me with it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You can't get this thing going, because when this thing gets going, you're in deep trouble. When you start thinking too far into it, just love, just forgive, just don't be bitter, just trust. Why? Because God is still in control. Sometimes the Lord is going to ask us to do some things that don't make sense. They're radical. You know, I had somebody come to my office, and I'm not telling you I'm this master scholar or anything, and I told this story last week, but I'm going to share it again. I was talking to Miss Doris. I call her Shorty. I said, did you bake any cakes this week? If you guys remember that, every time there's a problem, she goes, if she gets upset with somebody, she makes them a cake. This morning, she brings Javin cookies. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean? But week after week, I use that illustration with people because that's such a testimony of how we should be. And week after week, I see people going through things and they go, well, what do you think I should do, Pastor? And this is not some scholarly thing. It's just the Word of God. They'll go, what do I do in my marriage? This happened Wednesday night. I'm dealing with two people who are having difficulty in our church. And I'm not going to go too far into this, but let me tell you this. One of them, the lady, catches me in the kitchen getting coffee. She starts crying. She hugs me. She starts crying. She goes, what do I do? She says this to me. She goes, the Holy Spirit keeps telling me to hug him, but I want to punch him in his face. I'm like, you've been talking to Deanna? I said, you just answered your own question. The Holy Spirit told you to do something. God gave a direction that didn't seem to make, like, through all this, I should just go hug him. That's what the Holy Spirit, I said, then just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something, you can talk yourself out of it, because he's standing right there. She walked in, looked at him, walked back in, and goes, he was walking away. I said, go chase him. If the Holy Spirit told you to do it, it's kind of radical, it's kind of different. She goes, nope, I can't find him. I said, what is that called? She goes, pride. And I said, what else? She goes, I'm full of bitterness. And I go, you better find him. The whole night we're doing this little packing party thing. And I'm watching. And it's funny kind of from the outside. It's not funny that they're going through it, but it's kind of humorous because it's like they're playing cat and mouse. And she'd be like, if she seen him, she'd turn. I swear to you, turn the other way. Go. I'd go, just go do it. It was like I was trying to be this little angel on her. Go do it. Be radical. Do something different that doesn't feel right. I know you want to punch him, but just pound on his back a little bit. She did it. she texted me. She said, Pastor, I thank you for telling me to do something I didn't feel comfortable. It was nothing I did. It was what the Holy Spirit already told you. I just kind of put my foot in your rear and followed you around to make sure you followed through with it. And then you did. And she goes, you won't believe this. He asked me out on a date. Can I tell you something? After 25 years of marriage, they still needed to date. Starting this week, we'll be doing full-fledged counseling. Can I tell you something? They're on their way to restoration. And sometimes in things in life, when it's difficult, and sometimes when storms come your way, you have to just do something radical. You have to go bake a cake. You have to just go hug somebody. You have to just forgive. You have to just love. You have to just trust God. If you neglect that in your storm, you're in deep trouble. You want me to tell you what I think my problem is on a personal level? Is I always want to know what God's thinking. I'm serious. I want to know. I want to know. And you know, me and Miss, help me because I'm lost right now. Yes. Miss. Yeah, but I call you Miss Jane. We were talking a few weeks ago, standing right over here. I was crying with you. And she said something to me I've said so many times about Deanna's health. She goes, Deanna doesn't deserve it. And that's exactly how I feel. I look at her every day and I go, that's sincerely the godliest woman I've ever met, bar none. And she doesn't deserve it. And I want to know why God would allow it, and that's my problem. Instead of just trusting, I go, why? When you're in the storm, can I tell you something? You'll never probably figure God out. Do you want to know why? Because he's God and you're not. And maybe one day he gives us the answer. I always humor about this. When I see the Lord, the first thing I'm going to ask him, you ain't asking nothing. You're going to be on your knees worshiping. You ain't going to ask nothing. Why do birds fly? No, you're not going to wear it. Were angels really like, do they have wings? You don't, it's stupid. The first thing I'm going to do when I see the Lord is not going to go, why did you let this happen? I may never know the answer, but can I tell you, I have to trust him today. And no, even though in my own perspective, she doesn't deserve it, God has a purpose in it, right? In the middle of your storm, in the midst of that marriage situation, God has a purpose in it. But you have to trust him. You have to trust him and no one else and nothing else. She does this, right? Go back to the story for a minute. She goes, pours all this oil into the vessels. And in verse 6, it says, it came to pass, the vessels were full. And she goes, go get me some more vessels. And he goes, there's no more vessels to give. So the oil stayed in verse 6. It just simply means that it ceased. I mean, she had an overflowing when she put her trust back in God. And then I love it, right? Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt. So what was the whole purpose of all? The little she gave paid off all the debt, and then catch this. Ready? The end of the verse 7. It says, go pay your debt and live thou and thy children of all of the rest. In other words, this, there was enough left over for them to live off of. When you turn to the Lord, when you talk to the Lord, and when you trust in the Lord, there'll be enough. She not just get enough to get caught up with the creditor. She got enough to pay the bill in full. And all this happened because through despair, the lady went to the right place, talked to the right person, and followed the right instructions. For whatever reason today, you may be in despair, and I want to encourage you to do three things. Turn to the Lord, talk to the Lord, and trust the Lord. Your situation may not change exactly when you want it to, but if you will do these three things, the Lord will be with you, and you can handle your troubles with God's grace. And when the time is right and the lessons are learned and God's current work is in you is complete, then you'll be delivered from that trouble. But don't forget that God may have you where you are, facing what you're facing for a reason. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And he says, don't be surprised. Don't think it's crazy when something happens to you. I mean, I go back to this again. It's like, I'm like, how can you exercise two? This is what I was expressing. I'm like, how can you go from exercising two times a day to you can barely walk? How can you go from having one money one moment to being just without the next? How can a marriage be doing so good and just 1 second later? I mean, how do these? How can you go from having this paying job that pays the bills to not having the job? How can you go from what feels like perfect health to all of a sudden getting news that ain't so good maybe 1 to 6 months? How? I don't get it. But he goes, don't think it's strange when something comes at you. And this is the part that's so hard, right? Verse 13. But rejoice. Why do we rejoice? Oh, because now you're seeing what Christ went through. He suffered. And he goes, you're suffering for Christ's sake. I mean, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Through it all, God has a plan. See, through it all, we have to remain faithful. And through it all, God will provide. I'm going to have Miss Susan go to the piano. I want to say this to you. I listen to what people are going through in our church, and I'm like, the truth is we go home pretty regularly broken for the people of our church. And sometimes we just go broken, go home broken. Amen? If you are at that place today, I want to invite you to come today. And I'm serious about this. I want to do something a little bit different at this altar call. And this is not to weird anybody out or do anything. It's not just something I feel like the Holy Spirit put in my heart is this. If you're there today, I want you to come. And I don't want you to be hesitant of what people might think or what people might do. But I want to ask you to do this. I want you to pray with anyone who comes up here today. I want you to surround them with prayer. I just want to come together as a family because we should hurt together. We should be in pain together. When there's joy, it should be rejoicing, double joy. When there's pain, we should all be in pain together. And I'm here to tell you something. I don't mean this. I'm not pinpointing or pointing anybody out. But there are marriages that are broken in this room. There are people that are facing things that it would blow your mind if you knew what they were going through. And I want you to be humble enough today to just come. If you're at that spot where you're hopeless, you don't know what else to do. Honestly, you're going, I don't know what else to do. You don't need to come see me. You need to come see the Lord. But I want to surround these people in prayer. And you don't have to know the need or the situation. I just want you to put your hand on them and love on them and just start to pray over them and just be there for them today. So I'm going to pray, and I want us to come. If you feel like the Holy Spirit put something in your heart, I want you to come today. But let's begin to pray, and we open up this altar. Father, we love you. Thank you again for another day. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that I know your word's not always easy to live out. But help us to trust you. Help us to turn to you. Help us to talk to you. Lord, and if any place we've not done that, maybe that's exactly why the storm's still there, but Lord, maybe some of us, we know the storm it's been on for years, or maybe we know it's going to be long-lasting, that, Lord, you'd give us strength in the midst of that storm, and, Lord, you would surround us with your Spirit. Help us to keep our eyes on you during the midst of the despair or the storm, that we would trust you. For I lift our people up to you that are broken, that are hurt. Father, that you would touch them, that you would just like your word said that the angels encamp round about them, that they would just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit today, that they would know you're protecting, that you're guarding, that there's a reason for this season. There's a reason for why they're facing what they're facing. But help them to turn to you. Help them to talk to you. Help them to trust in you. God, give us strength to take you at your word. We love you. We give you glory, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The altar's open. If you'd like to come, seriously, would you come today?